At this specific moment, I would like to invite my brother Jeremy Dabo, who will be sharing the word of God this morning. Can we appreciate him as he steps forward? And he'll be praying for the word.
Thank you, Serge. Would you please rise up on your feet as we read God's word? It's only 7 verses, and then we'll pray. We are in 2 Kings chapter 4 from verse 1 to 7. 2 Kings chapter 4 from verse 1 to 7. This is the word of God says, "The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my 2 boys as his slaves.' Elisha replied to her, 'How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?' 'Your servant has nothing there at all,' she said, 'except a little oil.' Elisha said, 'Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't just ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side.' She left him and afterward shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, 'Bring me another one.' But he replied, 'There is not a jar left.' Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God and he said, 'Go, sell the oil and pay your debt. You and your sons can live on what is left.'" This is the word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, because once again you are going to speak to us, and we believe that this word will again enlighten our mind and will again bring us to a place where we will really continue to trust you with everything that we are and everything that we aspire to be. Thank you, Jesus, because you are going to speak to us. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. We may be seated. Well, it is such an honor and a privilege for me to be standing before you again this morning to share God's word. And as I was looking at this passage, I was thinking it's very hard to imagine when you think about the history of a nation that in that history, when it's being written, we will talk about ordinary people. Let's try and imagine people who write the history of the Congo, our country, for example. Usually when you go on, you are surfing on the internet, Wikipedia, the names that will come about the history of Congo will be the names of the former presidents, maybe the former prime ministers, maybe the actual president and the actual prime minister, and some of those ministers. But in the book of 1 Kings and 2 Kings, which are books that are mainly about the kingdom of Israel and Judah, we find some section that are talking about ordinary people like you and I. And one of the things that I learned just from that context is that people who are mentioned in these stories of nation, who have that, you know, privilege to be written in these books, are people who demonstrated a certain faith in God. Because faith gives us a special mention in the story of God. Because ultimately, this is not just a story about the nation of Israel or Judah. It is also the story of God and how he's moving through history and how God is rewarding and how he's doing good to all those who trusted him. So this woman has a special mention in this story that is about nations because of her faith. So faith gives us a special mention in the story of God. Some of you may know that in the past couple of weeks we've been talking about the power of the acting faith, and we are still continuing in that line. And today we are going to talk about this widow, the poor Israelite widow, as a good example of the acting faith. Amen. Yeah. And so in this particular context we find this woman who is facing many crises. One of the crises that she was facing was an economic crisis. Economic crisis because her husband was debt, and he died in debt. She had no means of repayment, and her children were about to be given into slavery for compensation. And this was permitted by the law of Moses. If you read in Leviticus 25, you will see that it was permitted for the creditor to come and take the people who are unable to pay their debt, and then after the year of the Jubilee, then he will release them. So the children of this woman were about to be taken into debt. This one woman was also facing an emotional crisis. She was still mourning. The pain of her loss was still fresh. But as if that wasn't enough, she also inherited all her husband's setback. I also talked about the economic crisis. So she had an economic crisis, she had an emotional crisis, but she also had a family crisis. Because I feel like she was abandoned by all. While the law in Israel required that the Israelites gave a special attention to the widows and the orphan, but this woman was left alone. There was no one for her. In the Jewish tradition, there was even a way to redeem a widow through a close relative. That close relative was called a kinsman redeemer. I don't know if you know about that tradition. But for this woman, there was no one in sight. And all this was not a consequence of an offense. She didn't do any sin. The Bible doesn't tell us that she sinned. That's why these things happened to her. Because trials can happen even to the righteous. Trials can happen even to the righteous. But there are a few things that we are going to learn from the faith of this woman. The first one is that the first move we make in times of crisis reveals the object of our faith. The first move we make in times of crisis reveals the object of our faith. This woman was going through an economic crisis, emotional and family crisis. Yet, in her distress, she turned to God through his servant, Elisha. And she reminded him of how her late husband was a God-fearing man. And that was the legitimacy of her requests. And there are words that can truly come to life when we grow through situations like the one this woman was going through. Because when you read scriptures in Psalm chapter 37, verse 25, the Bible says, I was young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. There are words in the Bible that only comes alive when we go through a certain situation, particular situation. And for this woman, the loss of her husband was about to become a living proof that this word spoken in Psalm are true. Psalm chapter 103, verse 17 also says, but from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. Amen. Her husband was a God-fearing man. And because of that, these words were about to come true in her life. Amen. Second thing we see about this woman is that when we move by faith, God often used the unexpected to rescue us. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 2 says, Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all, she replied, except a little oil. When she brings her request to the prophet, he asks her a very intriguing question. Because when you come to someone for help, you don't expect them to ask you questions. Especially when you are in debt, you expect them to give you cash, right? So that you can repay your debt. But this prophet asks, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? When I was thinking about this question, I concluded that the first question was about the prophet's responsibility. How can I help you? How can I help you? And the second question was about the woman's responsibility. What do you have in your house? And we need to pay attention because the question of the prophet was not, what do you wish you had in your house? It wasn't, what do you wish you had in your house? And one of the things that we need to learn in here is that sometimes we can be so overwhelmed by our problems that we overlook the small provision that God still has for us. Amen? Because sometimes scarcity can cause us to overlook our supply. Sometimes it doesn't. You are so overwhelmed by so many problems that you overlook even the things that can help you. You know, we come together and say, we have nothing. Is it nothing for real? Is it nothing for real? Because the simple fact that you can walk, the simple fact that you can breathe is already something. Amen? It's already something. For the widow, it was only a little oil, but in God's economy, it was her provision, the door to her breakthrough from the crisis that she was facing. Amen? So when we come to God and He asks us, what do you have? Well, we need to also count our blessing. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. The simple fact that you are breathing, the family that you have, the simple fact that you still enjoy a good health, that is something. That is something. So expect God to move even when you feel like these are small things. Amen? So what are some of the small things that God has placed under our responsibility that sometimes we overlook? It may be your resources, it may be your gifts, it may be your talent, it may be the good health, I spoke about that. It may be a skill that you have. It may be, ma'am, even some small savings that you have. These are things that we often overlook. But when we go through trials, let us remember that these in God's economy can be the door to our breakthrough. Amen? This can be the door to our breakthrough. Third thing that we learn from this woman is that God acts in proportion to our faith in Him. God acts in proportion to our faith in Him. The prophet gave to this woman a clear instruction. He said, go around, ask all your neighbors for empty jar. Don't ask for just a few. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside, shut the door behind you and your son, pour oil into all the jar, and as it is filled, put it to one side. Don't just ask for a few. God is an infinite source of provision. And we experience this provision according to our willingness to receive it. The more we desire it, the more He bestows it on us. So don't just ask for a few. I was reading about this author who was saying that faith is expectation. Come to God with expectation. Come to God with expectation to see Him move in ways that you can't even imagine. So come empty. Come empty and expect Him to move as we bring every area of our lives to Him. Amen? One of my favorite Christian authors once said, God wants to accomplish the impossible with men, but it is unfortunate that men only want to do what's possible. If we go forward in this same book, we know that Elisha later on was really upset at one of the king of Israel because that king, he asked that king to shoot arrows. He said, okay, take arrows and shoot. And this king shot only 3 times. And Elisha was very upset at him because shooting 3 times granted him 3 victories only. And Elisha told him, you could have shot as many times as you wanted, because that's the number of victories that the Lord was about to give you. So the Lord only granted this king 3 victories over his enemies because he shot only 3 times. So God is an infinite source of provision. Let us come with expectation. Let us not stop at 3. Let us keep on shooting. Amen? Keep on obeying, bringing to God the small we have for Him to fill it up, for Him to anoint it with His favor, for Him to put His super on our natural so that we can move in the supernatural. Amen? So that we can move in the supernatural. Number 4 that we see in the life of this woman is that obedience is what brings faith to life. Obedience is what brings faith to life. The woman obeyed the prophet's order and she started collecting jars from her neighbor. And you have to understand that this was really an act of faith. Because how can a little oil fill a lot of empty jars? Because I read when the Bible, in the original language, when the Bible say talk about the little oil that he had, it's really a small recipient, the one that is used for anointing the kings and, you know, very small. But he asked her to collect jars. These are big recipients. And how? You know, in my mind, as a human, I will really think about it. Like, how can this little oil fill all these jars? But this woman did not ask many questions, because faith often defies logic. It is believing God even when his plan for our lives goes against human reasoning. Because faith begins beyond what we see, and our obedience makes its outcomes evident in our lives. So she moved by faith. She didn't ask many questions, and she went around asking a neighbor for jar. And this also brought me a very good lesson, because we might also ask ourselves how many people will be ready to lend us their stuff or willing to help us in times of need. I concluded that this woman had very good relationship with her neighbors, because they were all willing to give, to lend her their jar. So at your workplace, in your neighborhood, even here at church, how many people will be ready to lend you their stuff? And all that, the key to all that is our relationship with one another. Amen? So James chapter 2 verse 14 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, what's the use of saying you have faith if you don't prove it by your actions? That kind of faith can't save anyone." So you see, it isn't enough to just have faith. Faith that doesn't show itself by good deeds or action is not faith at all. It is dead and useless. It is dead and useless. So obedience is what brings faith to life. As one singer once used to say, he said, "Faith takes possession of what grace has provided. Faith takes possession of what grace has provided." Amen. Number five, and that's the last thing that we learn for this woman, is that what comes from God works with God. What comes from God works with God. I was wondering, really, most of the time when we get what we prayed for, do we really remember to go back to God to ask instruction on how to use it? Because for who's this woman? That's what happened. Verse 7 said, she went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt. You and your son can live on what is left." Do we go back to God when we have received what we prayed for? Because what comes from God only works with God. Because most of the time when we have received what we prayed for, it's very few people who remember to even go back to God and ask him, "God, I've received this money, I've received this salary. Help me to use it in a way that honors you, in the way that it will be fruitful." Because what comes from God only works with God. And you can see it through the history of the people of Israel. Most of these kings, God gave them power. He gave them authority. But from the moment they stopped relying on God, that was their downfall. Because what comes from God only works with God. So may the Lord help us. May the Lord help us to ask him for wisdom when we get what we prayed for. So if I can summarize our message this morning, is that the first thing that we learn from this woman is that the first move we make in times of crisis reveals the real object of our faith. And when we move by faith, God often uses the things that we overlook to rescue us. Number three, God acts in proportion to our faith in him. How high do you expect to go, God to move? Because the more you expect from him, the more he will show you. Amen? Obedience is what brings faith to life. And lastly, what comes from God only works with God. May God bless his word.